In its unsuccessful campaign to disarm Hamas, Israel has wrecked many or most of Gaza's hospitals and killed or captured hundreds of the doctors and nurses working in them. One of the captured is Dr. Hassam Abu Safia, who was the director of the Kamal Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza, who refused to leave his patients one day in late December 2024 when the IDF bombarded the place, killing at least 30 people, then marching the staff out, stripped to their underwear. Dr. Safia posted film of all of this, which made him instantly a face of resistance in Gaza. He was taken into custody that day and has been behind bars ever since. There are allegations that he's been tortured. Dr. Safia is still detained by Israel after nearly 18 months. This has sparked outrage from UN experts, human rights organisations, and medical groups around the world demanding his release. Joining me now from Tel Aviv is Dr. Guy Shalev, CEO of Physicians for Human Rights Israel, which is an NGO dedicated to promoting health rights in Palestine and Israel. Welcome, Dr. Shalev, to Late Night Live.
Thank you for having me.
It was alleged by Israel that this hospital, the Kamal Adwan Hospital, had within it a command post for Hamas. Has any evidence for that been produced?
Unfortunately not. Even the Israeli military did not provide evidence. After they raided the entire hospital, they have it all under their control. They haven't provided evidence of any command center. They did show, they published a picture of some three or four rifles that they found in the hospital. Not something that you would consider a command center, but this needs to be understood in the broader context of Israel's allegation of hospitals in Gaza using as command centers. This is the argument that Israel is providing since 2009. And that is in order to justify the attack on these facilities. But 33 hospitals in Gaza were attacked by Israel. All of them were claimed to be command centers, but we haven't seen the evidence for that. And it is Israel's obligation to provide that evidence according to international humanitarian law.
The destruction of hospitals is, in international law, a crime, is it not?
Definitely. When you destroy a hospital, you don't only attack the wounded and sick people that are getting healthcare in there, not only attacking the staff that is working in there, but you're also creating a situation where an entire community, thousands and thousands of people whose health is dependent on this hospital, are in that moment stripped of their right to health. And then you see what we've seen in Gaza, more than 2 million people that are not getting the most basic healthcare, with medications and equipment not coming in, with doctors, as you said, killed or detained, with hospitals raided and bombed. You have cancer patients. For example, there is no cancer treatment in Gaza. So everyone with cancer in Gaza is just slowly deteriorating into death, basically. And that is why we say that the genocide hasn't ended with the ceasefire. People are still dying because of Israel's actions. Currently, there is not even one hospital in Gaza that is fully operative. And part of that is because of missing equipment, missing medications. Still, the humanitarian aid is not coming in as it's supposed to come. Stocks are supposed to be full. There is basically no reason to not have hospitals in full stock being able to care for the people, and that is definitely not the case. Other aspects are Israel's blocking off doctors coming in, international doctors coming in to support the Gazan healthcare system. Israel is blocking a lot of them. Israel is not allowing even a single Palestinian doctor from the West Bank or East Jerusalem to enter the strip in order to support the system. And Israel is blocking the evacuation of almost 20,000 patients that need urgent medical evacuation. Not even one patient was allowed to cross from Gaza to Palestinian hospitals in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. So all this together is a continuing attack on health and the people of Gaza.
What reason does Israel give for taking these measures?
It's not clear. We file petitions with the Israeli Supreme Court, basically also to get these responses, to understand what the logic is behind it, and then we can maybe attack that logic and try to change the policies. But the responses we are getting are just, these are security concerns. We don't have to share our reasons for not allowing that. With the case of medical evacuation, for example, Israel argues that it allows some medical evacuations to third countries. So flying people all the way to Indonesia with specific conditions, of course, is not something that's possible. And then you have people that can get treated in hospitals just 1 hour away with an ambulance drive, and Israel is blocking that. So we're not getting the responses that make any sense.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Maher, and I'm talking to Dr. Guy Shalev from the NGO Physicians for Human Rights Israel. Guy, Dr. Abu Safia, I take it that as the hospital was being bombarded, he filmed what was going on with his phone.
Yeah, so Dr. Abu Safia was the reason why there are other doctors being held in Israel, 14 doctors, leading senior doctors that are still held in detention in Israel, and we are calling for the release of all of them, including Dr. Abu Safia. The reason Dr. Abu Safia is famous worldwide is first and foremost because he's such a senior pediatrician, and we know that children in Gaza desperately need pediatricians, and that's one thing. The other thing is, as a doctor, he testified to what's going on in Gaza, and with journalists, international journalists not allowed in, with Palestinian journalists getting targeted. In many cases, doctors were the only source of information coming out of Gaza. And between October and December 2024, when his hospital, Kamal Adwan Hospital, was under attack, he was sharing the information over Instagram, and many people worldwide followed his update. He sadly lost his son and had to bury him in the compound of the hospital during these attacks. So people know him, know his name, appreciated the information he got from him. And for 500 days now, he has basically disappeared. He's held in detention, and very little information is available about him.
Do you know where he is?
He's in a prison called Ziot in Israel, which is another, by the way, an illegal act to hold a person from an occupied territory within the territory of the occupying power. So that's part of the problem. He's held in a prison in Israel. He cannot get any family visits. He cannot have any phone calls. His only connection with the outside world is when he sees the lawyer that we send in order to see how he's doing and to provide some support, legal support. And then also these lawyer visits are canceled many times. So just to get to visit him, we finally were able to do that last week. After weeks and weeks, we're trying to send our lawyer to visit him. So even that only connection with the outside world is very much limited.
How is he?
Well, he's been held for, as I said, 500 days. He's lost weight. He's getting he's not getting the food, the enough food in order to be healthy. He has medical conditions that are not treated. He needs prescription glasses that he's not getting. So he's basically, he has to survive this way for a long time now. They have in their room, in their cell, one mattress, and then the prison guards take the mattress in the morning and only return it in the evening. So all day they're just stuck in the cell, sitting on a metal bed. These are conditions that are shared by other unlawfully held doctors and other Palestinians under the unlawful combatants law, which basically is an administrative detention that kind of allows Israel somehow to hold these people with no indictment, with no legal oversight. The ICRC is not getting access to see these people.
Sorry, what organization is that?
ICRC, sorry, the International Committee of the Red Cross. And that their mandate of the Red Cross is to be able to visit prisoners and evaluate their conditions. And Israel unlawfully is not allowing them access into prison.
So the Red Cross can't get into any prisons in Israel or Gaza or West Bank.
Yeah, well, 2.5 years now, yeah.
I understand that Amnesty has alleged that he has been tortured. Do you know about that?
We know that he and other Palestinian, what Israel defines as security prisoners, are held in torturous conditions. So they are being devoid of medical care, they're being devoid of their basic needs, and according to international law and international conventions, this amounts to torture. We don't yet, only when he'll be out and we'll be able to get his testimonies on what he went through, we don't yet have evidence of direct physical assault on him.
What's your organization, Human Rights Israel, able to do for him?
Not much. That's very sad. So what we can do is we appealed to the High Court in order to get him and the other 13 doctors out. And we are doing a lot of advocacy work around the world. We're trying to get people also in Australia to be involved. We want to get medical associations involved because these are doctors. These are their colleagues that are being held in these conditions. And we, if there aren't any doctors listening to this show, and I assume there are many, I would call them also to pressure the Australian Medical Association, to pressure the World Medical Association, and hold Israel accountable for these medical ethics violations that we see in Gaza and still see, and the treatment of doctors.
Tell us about the last image we have of this man, of Dr. Sophia.
That very, very, very famous image of Dr. Abu Sophia with his white robe, coming out to an Israeli tank in order to communicate to them who's in the hospital, the patients and their needs, and why attacking and raiding this hospital is going to cause a lot of harm and death. In fact, this is not the moment where he was detained, which is kind of a false convention in the world, thinking that this is when he was detained. He was later allowed back in the hospital to talk to his staff members, to the patients, getting them ready, knowing that this is about to happen. And then when Israel raided the hospital, he was taken out, as you said, in their underwear, held in the cold for a few hours in one building. And then after they made some kind of, I don't know, selection, they decided who is going to be detained and who is not. And then he was detained. And ever since, he's been held.
Guy, why do you think Israel is doing this?
Well, that's a very difficult question. As an Israeli, I might say, this is just a part of dehumanization of Palestinians, destroying the healthcare system, at detaining doctors in such a way. It cannot be explained in any security concerns. This is an attack on civilians, on people, on children who need this treatment, on the elderly, on chronic disease, people with chronic diseases. I gotta say that I don't even try to understand the logic anymore. I just want the world to act and acknowledge that the Israel's logic in its action towards Palestinians is just, I don't know, it's just horrible and full of hatred and dehumanization. So someone needs to hold Israel accountable. So someone needs to stop the Israeli government from continuing these actions and demand accountability.
Guy, thank you very much for joining us on Late Night Live.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Dr. Guy Shalev, who is the CEO of Physicians for Human Rights Israel, an NGO that's dedicated to promoting health rights, both in Palestine and in Israel itself. This is Late Night Live.